The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
What's the best part of a Dunkin' Run? The coffee? Is it the coffee or the $1 donut or $2 stuffed bagel minis or $3 sausage, egg, and cheese that you can add to it? The answer, of course, is yes. Time for a Dunkin' Run. $3 offer available on sausage, egg, and cheese sandwich only. Excludes specialty donuts and fancies. Offer valid on medium or larger coffee. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer. Terms apply.
Welcome to another episode of The Overwhelmed Brain. This is the bonus episode, the midweek show. This is different than the Sunday show, which is more heavily produced. But I like to come on once in a while, try to do it here and there to catch up with the emails that I get and all the messages I get. And just to let you know, this episode is brought to you by NeuroHacker. That's not an electronic device. It's actually a company that creates a product that I'm taking called QualiaMind. And I've been on it, what, month and a half, 2 months now? And there's so much benefit to using this product that I'm going to tell you about later. But check them out. Go to neurohacker.com. That's the word neuro, N-E-U-R-O, hacker, H-A-C-K-E-R.com. And make sure if you purchase anything to use the promo code T-O-B, like the overwhelmed brain, T-O-B, and you will get 15% off your purchase. And that's on top of a huge discount they're giving for your first month. Check them out, neurohacker.com. And I want to get to today's subject right away. It's an email that I received from a woman who's in one branch of the military. I'm not going to tell you who it is or what branch to keep her anonymity. And she said that her girlfriend and her met at some place and began, I'm not going to tell you that either, began a relationship around March. They went to their respective technical schools and everything was fine at first. Long distance was tough, but we got through it. However, she's telling me that she began pulling away slightly, her girlfriend, and says maybe she's in over her head with the long distance since their relationship is so unique. We had to keep it low-key at basic training, and then we went into the tech school, so our foundation isn't as big and strong. I want to save this relationship and communicate about everything, but she hardly responds, barely talks about it. But she says she still loves me and doesn't know if we should break up or not. We're in that weird limbo stage. It's deteriorating my mental health, and we need to solve this. Any advice? Thank you so much for sharing this. And when you say your relationship is unique, I'm not sure what you mean by that. Is it because you're long distance? Is it because you have to keep it a secret? I don't know. You didn't share that part. But from what you shared with me, I'm just going to tell you my thoughts. A, when it comes to a long distance relationship, those are typically tougher for most people. I've done that twice, long-distance relationship thing. You can grow accustomed to it. You can get used to it. But it takes two very unique people to be able to keep that up, to be able to stay, dedicated, loyal to each other. And I'm sure, you know, for you, maybe that's easy. It's not a problem to have one person in your life and know that someday you'll be together. I think there has to be an end goal like that in most cases. Some people can do this on and on indefinitely, and some people can't. And some people have a time limit. For me, the typical time limit was 6 months. If it went past 6 months, it was just too long. It was too hard to stay apart. You might as well have a relationship online where you never get to see or touch each other in person. And that's tough for a lot of people. So I really believe you have to know your limit and set it with each other. Like, what is the maximum amount of time that we should stay apart before we realize we're not in a relationship anymore? That might be a tough thing to talk about, because it sounds like there might be an end if you're not together. And maybe you'll be in the military or wherever you are for a number of months or years. It's just tough. I mean, if you've got nothing else going on in your life and you love having that connection And that's enough without the personal touch and the personal connection when you're together. If you can do it, great. But you both have to be able to do it. So I think that needs to be talked about first and foremost in any long-distance relationship, is that when you are apart for a number of months or even years, at what point can you both agree that that's what you want, or is there a timeline and a time limit and an expiration date to when this has to stop? That's an important conversation. That should be the most important conversation. And the question is, at what point are we going to get together, or is that not in the plans? Now, with your situation, you're in the military, so there might be different timelines. There might be random variables that you can't predict. I don't know. But it is important to find out if you both have a timeline. Like when I was talking to one of the people that I dated long distance, turned out to be my wife, and of course the relationship I'm in now, we had a long distance relationship before we got together. But my girlfriend said no more than 6 months. Because if it's after 6 months, then, you know, at what point is this going to turn into something real? And I think that's an important thing to talk about as well. Is this real? Can we have this, what we have? And if you are always thinking about the other person, but you can never connect with them enough, there'll always be that perhaps low-level state of anxiety or anticipation, and you just want to connect, you just want to touch, and you can't. And I tell you what, after doing this, I mean, I did the long distance thing for many, many months, twice, like I said, with my first girlfriend who turned into my wife, and this girlfriend now, who hopefully is my forever, or at least the rest of my life. What is the maximum amount of time for me and her? It was 6 months. She said, if it goes after 6 months, then let's just not pursue it. I think that was honest. I think it was direct, and I think that's what you need to be. So be honest. What is your limit? If you say, I'll wait forever, I don't care how long it takes, she may not feel that way, your girlfriend. And if she doesn't, then you might have different values. You might have different ideas of what a relationship is. And that's the second thing. You want to define what your relationship is. And that doesn't mean making a list, or maybe it does for you, but it just means, what consists of a relationship for you? Will it always involve being apart like this? What if we get together and live together, and then you're called out on active duty, and now what? Now I'm alone for another year. Is that something that's okay with me? Is it something that's okay with her? So these things need to be established and be really direct about, because if you say, you know what? I need human connection. I need the experientialness of being in person with someone. I know I do. So if that's important to you, that needs to be what you seek and what you express and say, you know, this isn't going to work out because I can't predict the future and we could be apart, so on and so on. So that needs to be talked about as well. The third thing I want to say is, and this is probably the most important, and I kind of mentioned it already, is knowing your expiration date. And that's probably not the best way to put it. How about knowing the day you agree that it's not going to work out? Now, this is might be challenging because you don't know the future. But my girlfriend actually taught me that the most important way to make decisions, at least when it comes to relationships, is that what you see today is what you'll get tomorrow. She actually said it as, you are not your potential. And then I extrapolated from that all kinds of thoughts and philosophies and ideas and really expanded upon it. But I think in general, what she meant was, what you see today is what you get today and what you will get tomorrow. And this is the only way you can make a decision about a relationship, is how someone shows up today and what you are getting today and what you have gotten over the past weeks, months, and years. And when you look back and see what you've gotten, you must expect you will get the same tomorrow. This works in any relationship. That doesn't mean that people can't change, that situations can't change, that people can't become better, improve themselves, that people can't become worse. and become a monster to deal with or a toxic person to deal with. It doesn't matter, though, because all of the future is a fantasy that you create in your mind, and all you have to work with is what you see in front of you today. And I think that's important, is that what you see today is what you'll get tomorrow. So let's just say that you're far apart and you're not sure if you're ever going to see each other or be with each other, using this relationship as an example. Maybe you'll never see each other for another few months or maybe a year or more. So what have you seen of each other up to this point? That is to be expected. At minimum, that is to be expected. You might get a little bit more here and there. You might get a little bit more weekend time. You might have leave with each other and you can connect then. But then what? You go back to your respective areas of life and you move on with your life. So what does that mean for your relationship? Can your relationship handle long distance indefinitely? And I think that's another question. If this never ended, can our relationship handle this indefinitely? So you may not know. You may think, well, in 3 years, I'll be out, and then we can be together. So a lot can happen in 3 years. I mean, you could be separated for the next year and a half, maybe seeing each other here and there, and certainly connecting as much as you possibly can. And it could go somewhere, and it may not. It could be the greatest thing that you've ever had, or it may not. The point is, since the future is a fantasy, since the future is made up, you may have some timelines in your head. You may have some actual timelines that do exist, but you can't necessarily base what may happen on these timelines. Now, with that said, that doesn't mean the timelines aren't important. In fact, I think the most important thing you need to talk about is the timeline, in the sense that you agree at what point something needs to happen. So I'm going to get into that in a little bit. I want to tell you about NeuroHacker. NeuroHacker creates a supplement that I've been on for a while. It's called Qualia Mind. And Qualia Mind is what they call premium cognitive support. It's a premium supplement that helps support mental performance and brain health. I'm going to tell you this first. I would not come on the air and tell you about this unless I tried this out. In fact, I reject a lot of supplement companies that want to sponsor an episode of the show because I don't want to use the supplement myself, which means I really can't talk about it and promote it to anyone because I wouldn't be of integrity. So when Qualia Mind reached out and said, hey, we want to talk about, you know, sponsoring the show, we think that the people that you talk to are exactly the people that would like this product, I said, okay, I'll consider it, but send me a sample and let me try it out. And I want to know what it's like before I talk about it. And I, like I said, been on this for about 2 months. And let me tell you something that happened. I have a bunch of stuff to share, but I'm going to share one thing today because I'm going to talk about them on a future episode as well. I was lying in bed one night, and for some reason, the house I used to live in came to my mind when I was like 16 or 17. And I was walking through the rooms in my mind, and I was looking at the wallpaper, and I suddenly realized what the print was on the wallpaper. And that surprised me because I never paid attention to the wallpaper when I was younger. And when I saw it, I realized, oh, that's a flower on a blue wallpaper. And I asked myself, wait a minute, how do I know this? How do I know this detail? I mean, it's the kind of stuff I ignored when I was a kid, but for some reason, this visual memory came back to me and I saw the details like I had never seen. So I'm thinking, is this because of the mind supplement I'm on? Is this because of that? And I decided to test it out, and it felt like a waking lucid dream where I was walking through my house and just noticing every single little detail that I really hadn't thought about in about 35 years. I mean, it never occurred to me that these details were there or that I knew those details. So that's one of my Qualia Mind stories that I have. And other things have happened too, and I'll share them on a future episode. But I just wanted to share that because it just seemed like a visual clarity that I had never experienced. So that's one thing. I want you to check this out. It's called Qualia Mind, and you can find it at NeuroHacker, NeuroHacker, neurohacker.com. And if you decide to try it out, they'll give you 50% off your first month. And on top of that, if you use the promo code TOB at checkout, you'll get another 15% off the price. And so, you know, it's worth checking out. Give it a couple or a few weeks to really start kicking in. And you may notice things like I do. Like, this product is designed to beat brain fog, amplify willpower, fuel focus and concentration, promote mental clarity, decrease procrastination, it does work there, upgrade energy levels, and heighten creativity. Like I said, a bunch of stuff I could talk about right now, but I just wanted to tell you about that. Shop today for 50% off the first month and take another 15% off with the promo code TOB. Go to neurohacker.com. All right, like I said, I wanted to tell you the most important part about this long distance relationship stuff is that you both agree on a date that you make the big decision. So let's just say that you're in a long distance relationship, whoever's listening who's in a long distance relationship, or this is really a good idea for any decision making, but let's apply it to relationships, and you can apply it wherever you want in your life. But you make a date and you stick to it. So for example, right now it is Wednesday, May 27th, 2020, and you're in this long distance relationship or you have a big decision of some sort, and you say, you know what, let's decide on what we're going to do permanently on October 1st. You know, I'm just putting out some arbitrary date. For you, it could be another date, but when you do this, you set things in motion. You get the mind reeling and moving and making sure that you're both going in the same direction because you both want a result. There's nothing worse to me. There's nothing worse than a lack of closure. And a lack of closure in this case is, well, we're not sure if we're going to get together, and she's not talking to me, and she's being very not responsive, and I don't know, I'm not sure what to do with this. You set a date and you stick to it. So for this person who wrote in, she may say, look, let's talk about this date. If we can't decide what we want to do by this date, then let's just agree to, what is it? You know, I could say, let's just agree to separate, and maybe we'll cross paths again in the future. If this love is real and true, and we love being with each other, then we're going to love getting back together. If that's what's supposed to be, if that's what's meant to be, if you want to look at this spiritually, if that's what we are supposed to end up doing, that's what will happen. Because I know for a fact that when you get along with someone, when you love someone, when there's no glitches, that you're always going to be attracted to each other. I mean, if both of you feel this way, there'll be an attraction and a pull toward each other. Now, this sometimes works one-sided. In this case, it might be a one-sided pull. When you have a one-sided pull, you don't have a full attraction. You don't have a full relationship. You don't have enough to work with. In my opinion, again, I might be wrong in your case if you're listening and you think, well, that's not true because I had to try. You know, whatever it is. But I look at it this way. When you have two people and they both have a pull, a strong pull toward each other, and everything seems to work and jive and fit into place, and everything seems to be wonderful, like my girlfriend says, no glitches, then that pull doesn't go away even when you separate. Now, that doesn't mean you can't have other relationships, because you could get into another relationship that's just as good, if not better. And when you're in another relationship, I've found, at least in my own personal life, that the pull toward the other person either changes or dissolves. Doesn't usually get stronger unless the relationship you got into is terrible, but it usually changes or dissolves. So when I say this pull doesn't go away, it's usually because if you have a lot of life events and you go through, you know, the 5, 10, 20 years, you know, I hate to lay out that huge path of a fantasy future, but we have this idea that if this is great now, it will always be great if we get together later. So, yes, you might get into other relationships. You might. And you might find out that the next relationship was even better than the one you had, or just different, but still wonderful. You know, my goal with relationships is to get a good feeling inside me. You know, one of my goals. And of course, one of my other goals is to make her feel wonderful as well, as best I can. But no matter what the relationship is, you take out the name of the person that you're with and ask yourself, no matter who it is, as long as I feel this way, and as long as we get along great, and as long as I feel wonderful with this person, and I feel loved, and I am just as attracted, if not more attracted, to the next person, then does this other relationship have as much as a pull on me? I mean, we can get sidetracked with that or not, but I like to look at a relationship as when both people are attracted and both people are having that pull toward each other, that there's going to be a like an impossible magnetic force that nothing could keep you apart. That's not always the healthiest thing. I'm not saying that when you have this pull that's so strong that you can't stop thinking about each other, you might start obsessing. But again, if you both are in this space and you just can't stop thinking about each other, and you decide to set a date at what point you make a big decision, whether we're going to go for it and we're good with that, or we're going to separate and we'll see what happens. If this is great enough, it's going to be great again. Then it's a huge decision, I realize, but it's also typically the healthiest, and in the sense for both of you, because otherwise you're in exactly the state of being as this person who wrote in the email, that weird limbo stage. That weird limbo stage is a lack of closure. That weird limbo stage is, what do I do next? I don't know what to do. So I guess I'll wait. I don't like waiting. I mean, sometimes you have to. I get it. But I don't like it. I don't think anyone likes waiting to find out what's going to happen, especially when it comes to relationships. So what do you do besides wait? You talk about the hard stuff. You get that date and say, look, by this date, we got to make a decision. And then you stick to it. Because when that date comes, let's just say, well, in a week, we're going to be together. Maybe we should delay it a week. Well, okay. You know what? I'll give you that. If a week or two after the date you're going to get together, maybe you can talk in person. That would be ideal. So I'll give you that for sure. But in my opinion, if it's going to be like 3 months, 3 years before you see each other again, then it's important to set that date, because what ends up happening is that the brain gets into gear. I mean, it's shifting fast too. It's like first gear, second gear, third gear, because the brain is trying to work out solutions. So this is why setting a date is a great idea. It gives your brain something to do and has you work towards something that gives you closure, because that's the most important part. So yes, the person who wrote, she says, it's deteriorating my mental health and we need to solve this. I gave you, hopefully, a solution. It may not be an easy solution, and it may not be a solution you want to hear, because there may be a lot of love in there, but from what you said, it sounds like one of you is starting to pull away, which decreases the pull, which it decreases the magnetism. Now, you may feel even more compelled to want to be closer to her, but if it's not there, you don't want to have to convince anyone to love you, to be drawn towards you, to be attracted towards you, because then there's no point. If someone doesn't automatically feel that way and have that pull toward you as well, there's no point. It's not there. You have to just realize this is more one-sided, and relationships are about equality and connecting at an equal level, or at least as equally as you can while you're together, because you want to be able to feel loved, not convince someone to love you or convince someone that you're the greatest catch or whatever, even though you are. You shouldn't have to convince anyone of that. They should know it and want to be with you. And if it's not there, then you might have something falling apart already. And it's time to set that date and say, you know what, if nothing else, by this date, we need to make a decision. And maybe this person who wrote the email, she's already feeling that disconnect, and maybe that date will be sooner than later. But set the date so you have something concrete in your mind so that you can move on. I don't like not having closure. It's unfinished business in my mind. It lingers in there. And let me just give you a quick story. When my wife decided that She was no longer in love with me. Long story, I've told it in many episodes, but she said, you know, she's not in love with me anymore. And we were Skyping back and forth. And I said, well, what does that mean? You know, does that mean it's over? And she's like, well, I don't know. I was like, well, do you want to stay married? And she thought about it. And she said, no. And so that hit me like a ton of bricks. You know, I mean, I thought this relationship was going to last forever, but it hit me hard. And I said, well, is there a chance that you'll ever change your mind? I mean, even then, even in my deepest emotionally wounded state, I had the wherewithal to ask reasonable questions somehow. And so she thought about it again. You know, I asked her the question, is there a chance that you'll change your mind? And she thought about it again, and she said, I don't think so, no. I said, well, does this mean we should get a divorce? And she goes, well, I guess so, I don't know. And so she was not giving me enough information. I mean, she gave me enough. She said that she's not going to change her mind, at least that's what I got from it, and that she doesn't want to stay married. But she didn't say, let's get a divorce. But I wanted closure. I mean, even on that day, I just wanted to like, just say, okay, let's just get a divorce and get this over with. But I didn't want to. You know, there's a part of us that wants to keep something going in hopes that it will change. And then there's a part of us, I believe, that should kick in and say, well, if it's not there, we need to do something about it. If this is the truth, if this is the fact, if the future is a fantasy and all we have to make a decision is all we have in front of us today, then we need to make a decision based on that data. And so, you know, I'm going to admit this. A couple of days later, I went to the courthouse and filed for divorce. And this is the total opposite of what I wanted to do. Opposite. I mean, people listening will probably ask me, well, didn't you want to go like to therapy? Didn't you want to talk to someone? Didn't you want to talk to each other and see if you can work it out? Yes. I offered all of that. Well, why didn't you wait longer? Maybe she would have changed her mind. It's possible. It's possible if I waited longer, she would have changed her mind. But I didn't like a lack of closure. I wanted to start my healing as soon as possible. And so a couple of days after she said she didn't want to be married anymore, that's all I had. Those were the facts. And so I went to the courthouse and asked for whatever it took to get a divorce. And I told her I did that. And she said, you did? And I said, well, yeah. Was that the wrong thing? I mean, I was kind of vulnerable. And I said, yeah, should I have not done that? I mean, so just because you take the first step doesn't mean it's already happened. I mean, I took the first step into the life change that was going to happen anyway, you know, that step toward divorce. And I knew that she could still change her mind, but I wanted to get things in motion. So that's why I did that. I went to the courthouse, got the papers or got the situation started. I forget how I did it. And I told her what I did. And she was surprised. And she goes, you did that so soon. And I did ask her, well, do you think there's a chance for us? You know, I could cancel that. I could say, let's not do that. And I asked her, do you want to stay married? Is this something that we can work out? And she said, well, no. And so I had my answer, as painful as it was, but I still had my answer. I still had the facts that she did not want to stay married. And so I kept the ball rolling. And eventually, I mean, it took almost several months. It wasn't that long, actually, because in Oregon they had different laws. But in several months, we were divorced. And it was done. And it was a sad time of my life. At the same time, I can't imagine if I had held out and said, okay, I'll wait, maybe she'll change her mind. I'm going to hold off as long as I can and find out if she feels differently later. And the truth was that she never did. And the divorce was final. And it all worked out the way it was meant to be, I guess. And I can look back at that and say, well, what if she changed her mind? What if that was the wrong decision? And I can tell myself, so what? Let's just say that we did get a divorce and then suddenly she changed her mind. Divorce isn't necessarily the end. Ending a relationship isn't necessarily the end. It's just another phase of the relationship. And either you could get back together again or not. And I had to think about that because let's just say I got a divorce, which felt like the end of the relationship, which it was in this case. But let's just say we got a divorce and suddenly a few months later, she realized, I can't believe we got a divorce. We shouldn't have because I'm thinking about you and I still love you and maybe we can give it another go and then we can have another conversation about it. Who cares if we were divorced or not? I know some people probably have a problem with that, but I think when it comes to a relationship, being married or not doesn't really define the relationship. It doesn't say it's a relationship. It's just a contract that says, hey, now we have different legal rights and responsibilities and obligations. Now we have this other thing. But, you know, going through with the divorce doesn't mean the relationship would be necessarily over. In my case, it was. And then the person who wrote this email, just because you have a breakup doesn't mean it's over. It could be. But I don't want you to base everything on, oh, it's a breakup. That means it's over. And it's, you know, that's it. We'll never connect. We'll never talk again. And this will be it. I'm moving on. It doesn't have to be final. It might be final, but it doesn't have to be. I don't want you to base your decisions based on thinking something's final. I just want you to make decisions based on what the next best thing for you to do is, because you don't know the future. It is possible that someday, who knows, my ex-wife contacts me out of the blue and says, you know, I've been thinking about us. I don't think it'll ever happen, but she might say that someday, you know, I've been thinking about us. And at that point, I would say, you know, I'm in a relationship and I'm very happy and I'm so sorry about what we went through, but it's not going to work, you know, and that'll be a conversation. Again, probably never happens, but it could. Just like someone in your past could reach out again. It could happen. It does happen a lot. So I want you to think about that. I want to thank the person who wrote this and let you know that the longer you stay in this unfinished business, lack of closure state of mind, the longer your mental health will deteriorate, according to you and what you're going through. I'm not saying everybody has to go through that, but typically a lack of closure and wanting a decision to be made or wanting to get back together with someone, you can't live like that. Your mind and body can't sustain it. So it's vital that you help yourself out and make decisions, make fast decisions for your life. When I say fast decisions, I mean, don't linger. Just say, this is what I need to do. And if you can't make a quick snap decision, whether you're right or wrong, then set a date. And that way your brain will start rolling the gears and get things in motion. And it'll do all the work for you. I want to thank you for joining today. And I want to remind you to go to NeuroHacker at neurohacker.com and make sure to use the promo code TOB for 15% off your already 50% discount off your first order. And check out their ingredients. They're fully transparent. They have no proprietary blends. Thank you, NeuroHacker, for sponsoring this episode. And thank you for joining. I appreciate you. I'm glad you got a chance to listen to the bonus episode. I look forward to making another one really soon. And until then, we'll talk Sunday with the regular show. I appreciate you. You are amazing. Have a great day or evening.
What's the best part of a Dunkin' Run? The coffee? Is it the coffee or the $1 donut or $2 stuffed bagel minis or $3 sausage, egg, and cheese that you can add to it? The answer, of course, is yes. Time for a Dunkin' Run. $3 offer available on sausage, egg, and cheese sandwich only. Excludes specialty donuts and fancies. Offer valid on medium or larger coffee. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer terms apply.